We have a very good audience this morning, and it sounds like from the thunder outside that it's good that we're here and not out there. So if you've ever been tempted to be on the golf course instead of here today, you made the wise choice today. The lesson that I'm going to present this morning, I stole. And as the lesson develops, that won't bother you any because you'll fully understand. I'd like for you to use your imagination a little bit this morning, and I hope it's difficult for you, because I want you to imagine this morning that I am the devil. I want you to look at me and what I have to say and assume for the next, we'll try to keep it in about 30 minutes, that I am Satan. I'm a murderer. I'm a liar. My primary design, as long as I exist, is to take you to hell. I will work harder than most of you work to see that you go there. And I'm going to tell you this morning how I attempt to do it. And I think that you'll find that I'm more successful at what I set about to do than any salesman that ever existed. We have a few salespeople in the audience this morning. I see a few of them smiling. I outsell you 10 million to one. I do it because I appeal to what people want. And I get most people to follow me. When you look at me, hopefully I don't look like the monster that people have depicted me to be. Matter of fact, I look like a preacher, don't I? There, we got the answer already. I don't have a tail and I don't have horns. In fact, the Bible that you folks spend so much time looking at or pretend to look at so much says that I'm liable to be transformed into an angel of light. And here I stand before you today in the very pulpit where the gospel is supposed to be preached. And do you realize that a lot of times I get this opportunity to stand before people just like you and espouse a speech that will send you directly to hell? Well, how do I go about doing that? What are some of the things that I do to try to keep you out of heaven and in the direction of hell? One of the things that I will attempt to do, and I do it very well, is to keep you from being a member of the Lord's body, the church. And there are some people assembled here with us today that I've been quite successful in doing that with. Those of you that are members of the Lord's church, I'll deal with that a little bit in a minute. I have plans for you as well. You know, perhaps better than some of you, as the very opposition to Jesus, the Son of God, I know the Bible. I know what it has to say, and I understand that it's the truth. I understand that what's written there is true, and therefore I utilize it. I know that Acts 2 and verse 47 says that the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. I don't want you there. Remember, the primary objective of everything that I set about to do is to see that you spend eternity in a burning hell. Now, I usually don't speak this bluntly to folks. I usually sugarcoat it a little bit more. But I understand, if you don't, that if you're going to be saved and not go to hell, you're going to have to be a member of the church that Jesus Christ died for. Therefore, I'm going to do everything in my power to see that you do not become a part of that church. Colossians 1:13, if you haven't read, teaches that the gospel, the church, translates us from the power of darkness, or transfers you from the power of darkness into the light. Now, why would I want that to occur? You know, my very objective is to see that you are not translated, but that you stay in darkness. You know, furthermore, Acts 20 and verse 28, you folks use Acts so much, teaches that Jesus Christ died to establish the church. If you don't understand it right now, that my greatest opposition and my greatest enemy is Jesus, the Son of God. And the fact that he died to establish the church is all the more reason for me to try to keep you out. Now, some of you don't appreciate that, and that puts you on my side. You're going to be one of mine. Some of you are sitting out there this morning, have never become Christians. Maybe you've read that Jesus died for your sins, but you really don't have any appreciation of that, just like I don't have any appreciation of that. You're going to spend your time with me, unless perchance you change your mind. I know, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5, that for your sins to be removed, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is effective only in the body, in the church. And I understand fully, whether you do or not, that you're not going to heaven unless you're a member of the body of Christ. Can you see why it's important for me to keep you out? If I were the devil, do you understand why one of the most powerful tools that I have in the world today is keeping you out of the church? God is glorified in the church. Every time these folks here that are members of the church come together and they sing all of these songs and say all of these good things about Jesus, and all these people take away from their time and they come here and they make a big scene in the public and everyone sees them coming here to worship God, God is glorified, not me. I don't want you to be a member of the body of Christ. I want the attention centered on me, not on God. I would urge you to join some sort of lodge or fraternal organization or a club, the Chamber of Commerce, some sort of athletic organization, anything. You can find the same kind of people gathered there, and you can have your Sundays off. I realize today isn't a good day to play golf, but there are other good days that you could be doing that. And God would not get the least bit glory out of it, but I would have you. You know, I realize that the church is the group of people on this earth responsible for proclaiming the gospel of Christ, what my enemy has to say. I understand that it is the church that spreads the word of God, spreads the truth, and makes it difficult for me to do my job as well as I would like to. I realize that it's the church in which people are saved, and people who are saved are not mine. I have no use for the church, and I'll do everything that I can to convince you of the same. And finally, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23 suggest what really galls me about the church. It says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And again, that's talking about Christ. The church puts all authority under Jesus. Jesus is above everything in the church. And if I haven't made it clear already, I want control. If I were the devil, I want control of what goes on in this world. In fact, at one time, I offered to this Jesus himself that I would give him all the dominion of this earth that sits before you if he would merely bow down and worship me. I want the authority, not Jesus. Well, how would I go about doing this if I were the devil? Just for the sake of argument this morning, let's assume that I am. You know, it could well be. You don't know unless you compare what I have to say against the Bible. You know, there have been men that didn't look a whole lot different than me, that stood up before groups of people that didn't look a whole lot different than you do, and spoke the very gospel of Satan himself. You could probably have tuned into some of that this morning if you'd have wanted to. Well, if I were the devil, how would I keep you out of the church? The first thing that I do to those that are the least acquainted with what the Bible has to say is simply and basically to tell you that being a member of the church is unessential. I have convinced probably 75% of the people in this world, maybe upwards to 90% if I were to be so bold, that the church is unessential. Most people don't read their Bible enough to know any differently. And I can say that and they take it just like when I spoke to Eve. I told Eve way back there a few years ago that just because God said that you couldn't eat of that fruit, that didn't make it so. She believed me. And I tell people all over the world today that the church is unessential, unimportant, and because I say so, or one of my friends says so, they believe it. Most people in this world are not members of this church that some of you think is so important. I know Ephesians 5 and verse 25 said that Jesus Christ died to establish it. But you know, there's some of you here this morning that don't think much of that. It doesn't bother some of you here this morning that the Son of God was crucified, was nailed to a cross, died that you might have remission of your sins. It doesn't bother you much. You sit there week after week. It's obvious that you think more like I do than God does. Another way that I'd keep you out of the church, and again, I do a pretty good job of this, is by promoting ungodly living. I do a lot of this through television. Work through newspapers a little bit too, but television mainly. We have commercials and programs that show people drinking and having a great time, using narcotics, having a good time, sleeping with everybody else's husband and wife, and they all seem to enjoy it. Do all sorts of things that I know your Bible tells you is ungodly and unfit, but do you realize if you present it in the right light, if you just show the good side or what has the appearance of a good side, most people accept that. I'm in the advertising business. I know what sells, and I know how to sell it, and I do a pretty good job at it. And a lot of people buy my product, and my product is ungodly living. And there's not too many people that live the way I sell them on living that are really hypocritical enough to be a part of the church. There's a few people that try to play both sides of the fence, but for the most part, if I can get them in the groove of drinking and fornicating and carrying on like that, most of them don't have anything to do with the church. And I've accomplished my goal once again. Sometimes, though, I have to work right through some of you folks. When a lot of other things fail, sometimes I can kind of get to one of you Christians, one of you members of the church, and I can get you to live ungodly. I can get you to do some of the things that the people outside the church do. And you know I can make hay with that. That is one of the greatest sales tools I have. I can take old brother Sam back there. I hope there aren't any Sams here. Take old brother Sam back there, and I can get him down at the bar, rolling in the floor drunk. And when they carry him out, two or three people can say, he's a member of the Knollwood Church of Christ. Matter of fact, I heard he was one of their deacons or their preacher or something. I can take the worst one in this whole congregation. I only need one of them. And I can hold him or her up as an example to the world of what all of you are like. Deceptive? Yeah, but it does the job. You'd be surprised how many people have been scared away from being a member of this very church here in Knollwood by a couple of you out there that are working for me. A couple of you live just the way I need you to live, and I don't mind at all you're wearing the name Christian. Matter of fact, it kind of helps out when you can plaster that little name tag on there that, you know, today says Christian. You can peel that one off. Now, Lenny knows about this, going to different functions. You got all these little name tags you stick on. Well, today you can slap on one that says Randy Blackaby Chamber of Commerce, or you pull that one off and put one on that says Randy Blackaby Xenia Daily Gazette. You can pull that one off and you can slap one on that says Randy Blackaby Christian. Well, some of you got a lot of name tags, and I don't mind that at all. Especially when you slap that one on that says Christian, and then you live like I live. Oh, what a sales tool. You know, we've got more people in hell now and lined up outside waiting because of the way some of you live. I keep a lot of people out of the church with the cooperation and the help and the aid of some of you. I tell a lot of people that one church is just as good as another. You know, there's really only just a little handful of you people that are in the real church. But you know, there's millions around the world that are in a church. And I tell them that one is just as good as another. Now, some of you and I know that that isn't true. We know that the Bible teaches that there's only one church, one faith. We understand that, but again, most people don't read their Bible very well, and if they read it, they don't really pay much attention to it. Just kind of read over the words. And I keep more people out of the church, the real church, by simply telling them that one is just as good as another. You know, there might be some of you here today that are a member of some church, and I've pretty well convinced you. You think that whichever one down the block is closest to you, that one's fine. Suits me. That isn't what the Bible teaches, but that suits me just fine. Well, some of you just keep coming all the time anyway. Keep coming in here all the time. And, you know, one way to kind of thin your ranks out is to get a couple, three of you out there that like to talk a lot. The Bible calls it gossip. To start criticizing the preacher. Did you see that preacher up there horsing around the other morning acting like he was Satan? Didn't like that sermon at all. Don't know what he thought he was up to. Don't like the way he parts his hair. Of course, he doesn't have much to part anyway. We can just keep talking about the preacher and criticizing him. And we can talk about the elders a little bit. And, well, we might even talk about the deacons a little bit. You know, pretty soon we can get a whole big argument going in the church. And some of you will leave. And again, my job is accomplished. You know, we've had a few people leave this place here, and I've done a pretty good job of dealing with that. Every now and then you start getting up there awful close to a couple hundred people here, or 250, something like that. We have to do a little thinning of the ranks. And if you've noticed over the last few years, I've been pretty good at that. Thinned you down a little bit, didn't I? But you know, if everything else fails in keeping you out of the church, if I can't convince you that it's unimportant, if I can't stir up some sort of ruckus in the church to get you to just quit coming here, I'll just tell you that you can do something about joining the church tomorrow. You know, there's several of you out there today thinking about that. We remember us talking about that the other night when you were thinking about becoming a member of the church. I sent a little message to you and said, well, why don't you do that tomorrow? Some of you have been reading the Bible, and it says in there that life is as a vapor. It's here now and gone tomorrow. But a lot of you are interested in the same things I'm interested in. You're interested in having a good time, doing what I want to do, enjoying the things that I enjoy. So I think you'll listen to my argument. You know, there's a lot of you that have. I bet I could name a dozen of you this morning. I won't. I'm not the type of person that goes around embarrassing people, because you might get mad at me, and I don't want that. But I could probably name a dozen of you that have been thinking about becoming members of the church, but you keep saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Suits me fine. Some of you are very difficult to deal with. All the things that I've said about to do, you've ignored, and you've become members of the church. There's what, 100 and maybe 100 of you out there today that are members of the church here at Knollwood. 110 maybe, if we count all of you. What do I do? If I were the devil, what would I do now that you're a Christian? Am I going to give up? No. All you people that are in sales know you don't give up that easy. Just because somebody's about ready to sign a contract and go one way, that doesn't mean anything but that you put on the biggest push yet, right? Really pull out the stops when you get this far. Because you're on the way to heaven if I can't do something to change your mind. I'd try to get you to slip back to the way you were before. Sound simple? It's more or less difficult, depending on who I'm talking to. Even the old Bible that you people are thumping all the time holds out evidence that I've been successful at this before. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 talks about a fellow by the name of Demas. Now, he was a Christian like some of you, but I talked to him a little bit. I showed him some things out here in the world that he could enjoy for a few years, and he forsook all this stuff of getting together with other Christians and worshiping God. I'm successful at it. And again, if it wouldn't hurt sales, I could run down the list right here in your congregation of some folks I've done the same thing with. People used to be in here. You remember some of them. You rattle their names off. That used to be Christians till I talked to them. Till I made them an offer they thought was better than the one you'd made them. Sure, I don't give up once a person becomes a member of the church. If I lose that, I just put on the strongest pitch I have yet. Some of you are trying to ride the fence, and when I find a fence rider, I know I've got the sale almost made, because I really don't have to get you to sign on the line. Some of you people that sell real estate and cars and all that sort of stuff, you've got to get them to sign on the line. Well, there's some people in the church that I couldn't get them to sign on the line as being a member of the devil's army to save your life. But I really don't have to do that, and I'll show you from your own Bible what I mean. James 4 and verse 4 says that a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Okay, so you've been baptized for the remission of your sins. You've had all those sins removed, but if I can convince you that the things that are going on around here in the world are more important than what is going on in the church, I don't care whether you keep coming in here and assembling or not. If you're more involved with what's going on out there in the world and doing the things of the world and thinking about the world than you are of what the church is supposed to do, if you're amassing a fortune and enjoying athletics and enjoying your garden and enjoying the job you have, you've become a workaholic, you spend all of your time in those things, believe me, you're not going to have any time left to teach people about that silly gospel of Christ. Just because you come here and sit in this auditorium week after week, some of you come here 3 times a week, and if they hold one of these special meetings, they got you out here 6 or 7 times during the week, 8 or 9 sometimes. They go on and on, but you know, some of you just sit there time after time, and that doesn't bother me in the least, because I know and you know that you're more interested in what's going on out there than you are here anyway. I didn't have to have you sign on the line at all. Your Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So whatever pretense you want to make, I'm good at pretending too. I'm good at deception. I fool a lot of people in this world, so if you want to fool a few, that's all right too. Come on, come to church. Sit here. So long as you do what I want you to do. There's an old passage in the Bible that I don't like very much. And I'd like to address it just a minute because it's the same sort of stuff that God put out back there in the Garden of Eden. And I just assume you didn't pay any attention to it, but I want to read it to you and then just tell you it ain't so. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 to 22. And this is talking about some of you that have become Christians, and then you come back into my camp. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now here's the part that made you sick. But it has happened according to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Doesn't that make you sick? What the Bible will have to say to you? Now I'm trying to sell you on something different, and I refute all that. Just because God has that to say, just because the Son of God died to establish that all that's written here, that isn't any good reason to believe it. Some of you are real good at eating vomit and wallowing in mud. Some of you seem to enjoy it. Well, how would I go about accomplishing getting you to backslide, go back to the old way of living? Some of you were awful at one time. You obeyed the gospel. You had your sins removed. You were as clean as a newborn baby. What am I going to do to turn all that around again? It took a lot of work to get you from baby to muddy the first time. Now you've been all cleaned up. What am I going to do to accomplish that feat again? Well, one thing is to get you to keep the wrong kind of company. And that really isn't difficult to do because most of you have to get out here in the workplace and work. And I've got plenty of folks out there that think just like I think, behave just like I behave. And a lot of you have made your best friends of them. They tell the dirty jokes and you laugh. They tell about their feats last weekend with the neighbor's wife, and you think that's hilarious. Fine. They curse and carry on. They lie, they cheat. And you're not quite as bad as they are, but you're developing. You're getting more and more that way all the time. You know it won't be long till you recognize that you're no longer like the rest of the people that meet here at Knollwood. And I suspect you'll quit coming. You'll go and spend your time in the bars. Spend your time out on the golf course on Sundays. Spend your time working in your business, doing whatever you want to do, but you'll recognize eventually that you don't belong here. Like I said to Eve a long time ago, do what you want to do. I could probably name 20 of you right here today that while you're nominal Christians, your attitude still is basically like mine, and that is nobody, but nobody is going to tell me what I'm going to do. Nobody. God, preacher, elder, friend, father, mother, nobody. If I can keep that attitude in you, you won't be a member of the Church of Christ very long. I would encourage, if I were the devil, people to write filthy books, make filthy movies, then I would suggest to you that it is your right, your privilege in a free nation to read that. That no one, but no one, should censor what you read or what you watch. In fact, you shouldn't even censor what you read or you watch. And after a while, what to you today seems abnormal and wrong and evil, after reading it and seeing it enough times, will convince you that it's normal and appropriate and right. And you'll be a worthless Christian, and on my side once again. I've made some of my strongest and best moves in the courts of this land in the last few years. I have friends on the benches of the high courts of this land, and they have made decisions that make it all the more easier for me to carry out this job of getting you to backslide. The courts have approved essentially pornography. Not on the surface, but you understand, in this kind of sales work, you have to kind of get the job done without everybody recognizing that you've actually done it. Do you understand what I mean? You get a judge to pass or write a decision that says every community should establish what is pornography as it suits their particular area. In other words, if the majority of people in a particular area can all come to an agreement on what pornography is in that community, then you outlaw that. But I won. Have you ever gotten three people to agree on anything, much less a whole community? I can show any kind of filth that I want to in almost any community of this land, because we've got people that have no gumption, no willingness to stand up and fight these things. And you know, you people in the church, you help me out. Very seldom do I ever see any of you out saying anything about all this filth and these adult bookstores and these filthy movies. You even take some of your kids to see some of them that aren't quite that bad. I've won, and I've used the courts of the land to do it. Another thing that I like to do that gets a lot of you, I haven't been that successful with those of you here, but all over the country I've done a pretty good job, and that's with social drinking. Some of you are business executives, and you have to go to these little parties all the time. Everybody's got a little cocktail in their hand. And, you know, your friends tell you, they think you're kind of odd when you're sitting there holding a Coca-Cola and everybody else has got the other bubbly stuff. They tell you, and I'm telling you, that one little drink of that won't hurt. If you go to a little cocktail party, if you're going to be successful in business and you're going to be a part of the team, and you're going to be a success, and you're going to make the other people there comfortable, then you're going to have to take a drink, and one won't hurt you much. A lot of people have bought that. We've got a bunch of alcoholics in this country that bought the one drink. You see, the thing of it is, again, this is all sales work again. You have to sell it the right way. The one drink leads to two, and two to three, and before long you've got somebody that's hooked on it. And the body needs it then. Just like some of the other things I get you into. They're just like alcohol in a lot of ways. When I get you to where you've got to have all of these material things, after a while you get hooked on that. And you just can't for the life of you do without it because I've got you hooked. Same thing with drinking. You know, some people that I sold that deal on the social drink, they're whores, they're thieves, they lay in the gutter, they kill people. And boy, when I get them that far, you know, it's pretty hard for some of you folks to turn them around and bring them back to the church. You'd be surprised what a little drink can do for me. Liquid sales. And I get some of you in the church, too. We're talking about methods of backsliding. I would almost bet, since I'm the devil, I might as well bet, that if we take a tour of all the houses of all you people here, I would almost bet that I can find some beer in some refrigerators. Yeah? You know, when you drink that stuff, you act a little bit differently than you do here on Sunday morning, don't you? You act a little bit more like me. Kind of let your inhibitions down. All that garbage that the preacher told you last week about living uprightly and living godly and being an example for other people. Let me give you three beers and I can get you to forget just about all of that. And in fact, you'll be laughing, calling the preacher ugly names, and just having a wonderful time. Some of you aren't that easy to push over and make the sale on. But there is one thing that works with an awful lot of you, and that is to sell you on your own work ethic. You're a hard-working group of people. If I can simply sell you on the idea that providing food, clothing, and shelter is the most important responsibility that you have in the world today, I got you. Gotcha. Now I know, like you ought to know, that the Bible teaches that if we'll have faith in God, He'll see that all of these other things are provided unto us. But most of you, way down there deep, really don't believe that. Most of you are willing, with a little prodding from me, to believe that your primary objective in this world is to provide for your family and provide for yourself, to have three square meals a day, a house that is appropriate for the position in which you live, and probably a car of similar appropriateness for your status in life. Now, what some of you don't realize on the surface is that this works for me very well. Because, again, there's only so much time in a day. And most of you think you're at a little bit higher status than you are anyway, so you work overtime to try to achieve what you believe your status ought to be, or the status that you wish you were at, or the status that you want your neighbors to think you're at, and that consumes your time. And there's no time for God, no time for teaching the gospel, and I got you. And finally, if I were the devil, I would render you useless if you were a member of the church. I realize that this weakens the church. If I can get a number of you to come to church and do nothing, but sit there in those pews and listen, I understand, if you don't, that the church is described in the Bible as a body, and that each of you are components of it.